I had Mage. Yes. I can retire. Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. I forgot to place the bet. Darn it.
Can't even do that in Kansas, on even on FanDuel.
I can't.
It's weird. Horse racing's not available in Kansas. I wasn't going to bet on it anyway. I was just on FanDuel. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's interesting.
That's weird.
I liked all the things you can, but
greatest horse race.
Horse racing.
Greatest horse race in the world, and you can't bet on it. In a state that allows sports betting. Interesting.
It was weird to me, for sure.
That is weird. Well, had I bet, I definitely would have won a lot. Mage was 15-1 odds, rallied back from the back of the pack, passed two fills on the final turn to win the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. That was the first leg of the Triple Crown. The Preakness will be up next on Saturday, May the 20th. All right, we're going to talk a little Royals, and then we'll get to the local sports and cover everything else. We had our Royals bus trip yesterday, and we got to see Salvador Perez crush this home run.
And Perez rocks it! Deep left center! Way gone! Whoa! The Royals are on the board with a rocket!
Yep, Salvador Perez, his longest home run of his career, 462-foot solo homer in the bottom of the first against Mason Miller. And the Royals were up 1-0. It was 1-1. Royals took a 2-1 lead, tacked on 3 in the 8th, and won 5-1. Ryan Yarbrough pitched very, very well. Had ERA over 7 coming in. Gave up one run in 5 2/3. Was still working and on the mound when he got hit by a line drive. And it was pretty scary stuff, but he was responsive and further testing being done. And Matt Cotrero, the manager of the Royals, impressed with Yarbrough before the exit, and here's he on his pitcher getting hit in the face by a line drive.
It was scary. I mean, the dugout went silent. I mean, everybody, your heart drops there. You get a pit in your stomach. It's just I can't think of a worse thing to see on the field. Luckily, when we got out there, he was talking and aware of what was going on and what had happened. He was swollen immediately. You know, there was some blood. You just didn't know exactly where it was coming from. But as far as how he's doing, he's alert. And they've taken him to get some for testing.
Exit velocity off the bat, 106 miles per hour. And you wonder why Major League Baseball, I've had people say, why do Major League Baseball players, why do they use wooden bats? Because if they use aluminum bats, somebody would die. I'm not going to go any further with that. That's the simplest explanation. Now, you can start to say college, you might want to think about that too. I mean, because you know, there's different, only certain bats are allowed, so forth and so on. But that's a big reason why they use wooden bats in the big leagues is, I mean, the pitchers throw harder, the hitters hit harder. And I do feel like someday that's going to happen, though.
Yeah. It's a wonder. Like I saw like a deal in volleyball in the fall where a girl got hit in the face right by a spike, and it's like I said at that point, it's like it's crazy that doesn't happen every night.
Yeah,
and it's a wonder that this doesn't happen way more often. What happened to Yarbrough yesterday?
No doubt. But Cotrero was impressed with Yarbrough before he got hit in the face with a line drive.
That was what I'm used to seeing a lot out of him. Vintage, you know, a lot of strikes, a lot of soft contact. You see all the weak pop ups. Frustrating guys with being able to spin the ball and then sneaking a fastball in locations. So that's him in a nutshell right there.
So we are the Good Luck Charm, our Royals bus trip crew. The Royals, we've seen 1/3 of their home wins. They're 3-16 at home with the win yesterday. They're now 9-26. They'll start a 4-game series with the White Sox tonight at 6:40 at the KZAC Greinke on the Hill against Dylan Cease, who's one of the best pitchers in baseball. And we were talking about this on the bus trip. It was a battle for last place. Who's going to be last place after the game, and who's going to be second last place? Because the A's won the first two games of the series. They're both 8-26 going in. And we felt like, to make sure that we had somebody happy on the bus coming back from Kansas City, we picked up a couple hitchhikers, John and Tanya, Oakland A's fans, because we were like, well, you know, then we'll be guaranteed somebody will be happy. And then ended up being there the only ones that aren't happy as we were coming back from the Royals bus trip there in Kansas City. Had a great time. Thanks to Cindy, our driver. We got back right when the wind came up and the dirt storm and everything else that hit here in our area. So we couldn't have timed that much better there. We got back earlier than we ever have because the game with the pitch clock and everything got done about 2 hours and 20 minutes. We were able to stop and eat, get on the road, and get back at a decent time. I think we got back about 8:40 or something like that. So
8:32 when we rolled on the side of town there.
All right. Well, that's yeah. great. Great time. Great time. So there's been times we've been back at 9:30 and then that 13 inning game, I think we got back at 11 or 11:30. So it worked out really well and the Royals win and we're happy with that. And thanks again to everybody that went on the Royals bus trip. Thanks to our sponsors, Bonnet Wildering and Jewel. Also a big thank you to Mankato Express, Mankato Fresh and Pharmacy in Mankato. Thanks to Gerard's Grocery Store in Osborne, TJ's Liquor in Concord City, Miller Hardware LLC there in Downs, Cunningham Telephone and Cable, Dairy Queen in Beloit, and Ray's Apple Market in Beloit. And I think I've got all of those off of my memory bank that are that were sign-up locations. And we had a great time. And a big thanks to all that went with us. I mentioned all their names by first name earlier today on Waterside Wake Up. God bless John Kimmer dealing with all of the kids, which was funny. I went back there to see how everybody was doing on the return trip from KC. I went to the back, and half the kids were asleep, and so was John. So John was worn out. The kids were worn out. And then my son, who did a wonderful job going up and down and waiting on everybody, he's 9. He woke up this morning sick. So he didn't go to school, and he was puking, so that was great. So I'm guessing perhaps he ate too many of the little candies. Who knows? I kind of lost track of how many of those little candies he had. One of the downfalls of him taking the candy and handing it to everybody and everything else.
Who knows what he's doing when he gets to the back. And then
Yes, and how many he ate. But perhaps that was why he got sick. I don't know. We had a long weekend. It was a fun weekend because I took him along with some of his friends to the K-State football camp on Saturday morning bright and early. So we had to get up at like 6:30, 6:45, get to K-State camp by 9. And that was a good day there. And then we had to get up early for the Royals bus trip. And so my 9-year-old had to get up about 6:45 on Saturday and a Sunday. So usually gets to sleep in a little bit on some of the weekend stuff unless we have some kind of sports tournament. So it was a very action-packed full weekend, and perhaps you just can't handle it. And that's why he was sick today. I do not know. But I think one of the funniest things on the Royals bus trip was when we were doing trivia, that I said there's only one acceptable answer for the radio station, your favorite radio station, North Central Kansas. And the one kid said the wrong radio station. It was funny. I said they're going to get kicked off the bus or they're going to win a bag of candy. They got it straightened out after that. That was very, very funny. Got most of it right. 94.
Yeah.
Didn't get the last part. So we had some fun with that. That was very, very funny. But great time. Anything stand out to you?
No, I do want to say about John. I hope them kids understand how lucky they are to have a grandpa like John to put them on a bus like and take them in the memories that they're creating there. So they probably don't know that yet, but I'm going to tell you right now, when they get older, they'll remember that. Yeah. And that's cool. Every time he comes on the bus and has his grandkids, I'm like, that'd have been fun to do that with your grandpa and take a trip like that. So, those are some lucky kids there. But, it was a fun trip. It always is. It's always better when you can come home with a win, too, and kind of enjoy that part of it. I know John and Tony don't agree with that. But, it's always a good time. It's good to be amongst the listeners and have a good chat with some of them people and see some of the different ones that come on each year too, and even some of the same ones that have been with us that go every year. So it's a good mix of people and fun to be around all of them. And obviously it was a nice day yesterday, and to take all that in on a good day and a Royals win is always a great time.
Brett, Sarah, Kay, Linda have been with us before. John and Angel have been with us before. I think Bryce and Brian might have been there first time. Cody, Alicia, Evan, their family first time. Don and Dawn, there are two Dawns. That was their first time. Irma, D, Randy, and Pat have gone with us before, so always have them. Bo and Linda have gone many times, always fun chatting with them. And then you mentioned John and all the grandkids, and then he had a straggler that joined him too.
Yeah.
He said, they're all grandsons, and I got this one too. I'm like, I hope you can keep track. You got 8, okay, John? Don't lose track. 7's not enough. And then, of course, Brian Coster's gone many times with us. His wife, unfortunately, couldn't go this time, but then his grandson was able to go the first time he went to the K. That was pretty cool. Shannon's gone with us before. Darla went with us. I think it was her first time. Joyce and Barbara, Connie and Gerald have been with us before. John and Tanya, they were the A's fans, and God bless them for being diehard fans wearing their A's clothing. And they took everything in stride. We razzed them, had some fun with it, but they were terrific. So we appreciate having them on. It was a lot of fun. John actually did the Gospel Down South show on Sunday mornings there for a year and a half. I asked him when it was. He said 2010. It's hard to believe it was that long ago. Mm-hmm. John, of course, used to work over at Miller Hardware under the dictator Don Miller. I'm kidding. And then Sharon and Dennis, Kevin and John, they were first-timers, I think. Eric had gone before. I don't know if Lene had gone, his daughter. And then Dick and Pam went from Smith Center. They were on a waiting list, and then we had somebody that had to back out, and so they were able to get on. And so Dick had told me that he was – I said, you guys able still to go? You know, because I think we might have an opening. He said, well, I'm trying to keep it kind of surprised for my wife, Pam. But I don't know if we have any plans on Sunday or not. So I got to find out if we have plans on Sunday. And then, of course, she's going to ask why.
Yeah.
And so that's how it went. I talked to him there when we stopped at Taco Bell. And he said that's exactly what happened. You know, he asked her, and she's like, oh, I don't think we have anything going on. Why?
So none of your business. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, right. Why do you have to be so nosy? Well, you're the one that asked what we're doing this weekend. So that was great that there was nothing planned, so they could join us as well. So had good conversations with them and everybody on the bus, and so we look forward to having everybody again next year for the Royals bus trip. And I don't know, man, I'll tell you what, it was the weirdest time getting off the bus because that wind was picking up, and you should see my truck. It is just caked in dirt because of the wind and the dirt, and it was a little tiny bit of rain that made it even worse on the truck. And so we're driving back, and I can see a long way in front of me. And my nine-year-old sitting in the front, he'd done a really good job. Didn't fall asleep, take a nap on the bus ride back. I was trying to encourage him to do so. Did a really good job, and thanks to everybody that tipped him and everything. And I wasn't even complaining. I was just making a statement. I'm driving. I'm like, man, my truck's really going to be dirty. And my nine-year-old goes, Dad, I think that's the least of our concerns right now. And I'm, okay, yeah, okay, all right, yeah. And I think he was a little bit worried about the high winds and the weather. I wouldn't say freaked him out, but he was a little bit concerned. But it was just so funny. He was like the adult in the conversation. I think we got bigger things to worry about here, Dad, than whether your truck is dirty. But then once I got in the garage, I said, man, come on, look at my truck. And it is just absolutely – only driving for about 2 minutes back from the high school to where I live. It's absolutely just – I mean, it's just nasty looking, man, from all that wind and dirt last night.
Yeah. Crazy. I started doing that report in the high school parking lot, and I'm like, I got to get south, man. I didn't know how bad the hail was going to be. So I'm like, it was pea-sized when it started coming in the middle of my report. And I'm like, listen, I'm going to be driving and talking on the phone here, but I really don't care. I didn't know how bad it was going to get. It didn't end up any worse than that, I don't think, in Beloit. But I know further to the west when it started, it was definitely worse than that.
There's some big hail up in Marysville. Our sister station in Marysville. I saw some pictures that Durking showed on there. Almost looked like, I would say, between golf ball and baseball, not maybe tennis ball, but maybe just shy of that. They look pretty big.
Yeah, I have a friend on Facebook that lives Alton area, a little north and west, I think, and they had golf ball to ping pong ball size hail for sure.
Somebody said, the only thing the hail's going to hurt is buildings and vehicles because there's no crops to worry about.
Yeah, that was unfortunately
really much to be damaged there. So anyway, we hopefully those that got rain. We really didn't get much. It was a lot of wind.
That's why I said it's like it just blew right came through. There was probably more hail than there was rain in most places.
Yeah, man, we need some rain. Maybe there's another chance, I think, today or tomorrow and later this week. So that would be great. All right, so thanks again for all the sponsors. Thanks again for all those who went with us on the bus trip. We really, really had a good time, and I think they did as well. All right, Dusty, local sports.
Yes, not a lot. We can tell you that there's all kinds of results from track and field on Friday at ncksports.com. Rock Hills Grizzly Invitational, Thompson Relays at Lincoln, and also Southeast Saline Invitational. Beloit girls won that one, the team championship there. The Smith Center boys were champs at Rock Hills. And then, again, a lot of area athletes that did some great things there on Friday. It would take a long time to go through all of it. So, again, find all the results at ncksports.com. Beloit softball team also got a sweep over Republic County Friday, 10-0. 13-1 in five innings in game two. 15-3 is the record now for Beloit. They're 9-1 in the NCAA. Coming up today, high school baseball and softball, Ellenwood at Sylvan Lucas. 4:00 start time for the doubleheader in both of those games in Sylvan Grove. And Concordia's at Clay Center in softball today. Then in golf today, the NCAA will meet at Concordia at 1:00 and the Mel Shrimmer Invitational at Phillipsburg at 3:00. Osborne and Smith Center from the area are competing in that one. Again, all the latest in local sports, schedule, scores, news, standings, everything you need, ncksports.com.
One more observation. So we were at the Royals game, and you can actually get a GA ticket for like on StubHub for $4.
Yeah,
to get in, but parking's 20, I think, and then the beers are 14 or 13, and if you want a burger and fries, that's 16. And there was 12,740 people at the game yesterday. It was more than I thought they would have. They had a great turnout Saturday night with Lorenzo Cain being retired as a Royal, which was awesome to see Lorenzo Cain back in a Royals uniform. And that was cool. His kids being involved in the first pitch. If you didn't see that, it's on social media. Pretty cool. And he had a speech where he teared up and got misty-eyed right away. And it's hard to believe Lorenzo Cain, you know, last I think of him playing for the Royals, of course, was 15. He did play in 16 with the Royals, but 15. And so I read a story, and they said that, you know, that Cain was willing to sign a six-year deal with the Royals to stay in Kansas City. But the Royals had already signed Alex Gordon. The Royals didn't have two long-term contracts on the books. So the Alex Gordon signing, not only we didn't sign the right guy, we should have signed Jobrist instead of Gordon, but also Gordon's signing prevented us from keeping Cain, according to Art Altaret. And I'm like, that just makes me feel even worse. Now, the thing is, Lorenzo Cain had three good years after that. So the last 3 years of the contract actually would have been bad for the Royals. So it's probably a good thing the Royals didn't do that. But Alex Gordon's long-term deal wasn't exactly great. He was great defensively, but offensively just went in the toilet. So, you know, I understand not wanting to have two long-term deals at the time. That makes sense for the Royals, but they chose Gordon over Cain, unfortunately, and over Zobrist.
Yeah, and I think he would have got maybe a couple better offensive years from Cain than he did from Gordon. I think defensively it was going to be about the same. But it's nice to have both of them out there at the same time, right, like they did there when they were winning the World Series. But but yeah, I think maybe would have got a little bit better offense from Cain than he did from Gordon. But they were both done about the same time as far as
they both had injury issues. Yeah. In particular, Cain usually was injured a little bit more than Gordon at times too. But Lorenzo Cain, amazing player for the Royals, one of my favorite players of all time for the Royals, and was wonderful in center field, no doubt. So that was fun on Saturday. And then, and, you know, so yesterday I didn't know what kind of crowd we'd have, and it was a decent crowd. I mean, considering the Royals are so bad, 12,740 people. They had the fun run after the game, which, the fun run, I think, is somewhat of a joke, because it used to be where you got to run from home to first to second to third and exited, so all you didn't do was run from third to home. And now it's you come out from the first base dugout, you run first to second to third and get off, so you don't even do half of the running, which I'm like, come on, how much harder would it be to let the kids run an extra 90 feet or whatever? But it is what the Royals do, and it's free and whatever. And so
it still gives the kids a chance to get onto Kauffman Stadium,
get on the field. I know, I'm just kind of being picky about
it. I get it. I know what you're saying.
I mean, because to me, it's a fully run.
Run the bases.
Not run two bases, but, you know, really. But anyway, so they have that afterwards, and that helps draw some people in on a Sunday. It was warm. It wasn't quite as hot as they said it was going to be, but there's plenty of empty seats. So a lot of our people in their section 145 went to 245 up in the shade a little bit further back, which was good for folks that didn't want to deal with the heat. But I was thinking about this, and this is the thing that I don't understand. Like, and I don't, there must be a reason for it, but, you know, the Royals do have dollar night sometimes, or they used to, and the really horrible, nasty, tasty dollar hot dog things.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're hot dogs.
Things.
That's what I'm calling them, things. I don't even know if they're really hot dogs. I don't even know what they're made of. I don't think I want to know. I know what real hot dogs are made of. I don't know what the dollar hot dogs are made of, but ugh. But they do have special promotions, things and that like this, but yeah, I got to thinking as I walked around the concourse at Kauffman Stadium. We got there really great time, like 11:45. So we were some of the first people to be in Kauffman Stadium through the gates. And you, me, and my son, we walked around. And I'm one that tries to be pretty observant. I got that from my dad. And so I take in things. I'm not as tunnel vision as some people are, although there are times when I'm driving, I think I get tunnel vision. But and I'm checking out things. I'm a people watcher at times. My wife and I kind of like, it's kind of, sometimes it's okay to just sit back and watch. And sometimes it's funny to watch. But as they're going by, you have all the concession stand workers. You've got the different places across from the concession stand that are selling Dippin' Dots. They're selling, you know, Dippin' Dots are $10 for a large, almost $7 for a small. They've got all kinds of different beers, liquors, so forth and so on. There's different places to eat. There's hamburgers, there's pizza, there's nachos, there's pretzels. I mean, a whole bunch of stuff. The cheapest thing you can get that I can find on the menu, I think, was frozen lemonade and pretzel or bottled water. I mean, that's about the cheapest. You get the pop, a souvenir pop's $10. You get a free refill. I think if you don't get souvenir soda, it's like almost $7. There's nothing really cheap. Maybe there's some candy for $5. I don't know. I don't usually buy candy at the ballpark. But as I'm going through and I'm seeing it, and I know, I mean, they buy this stuff at cost. I mean, they don't. All the beer they buy liquor stores are buying probably close to the same price, right? Mm-hmm. And then liquor stores will sell the 24-pack for, you know, $24 or whatever it might be, or 24-pack of whatever beer. I know Pineapple Life Coach. I've seen a case of Pineapple Life Coach because that's something I like to drink lately. And I've seen it for $20 to $24 a case, depending on where I've been, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's $1 a beer, right? Mm-hmm. But if I want Summer Shandy, okay, I didn't have Pineapple Life Coach at the K, but Summer Shandy would be a similar type of seasonal drink. Summer Shandy is $14 a draft, or you can get the taller cans for like $13-14, right? Mm-hmm. 24-ounce can. I can buy a case of Summer Shandy or Pineapple Life Coach for the equivalent of about a beer and a half at the K. So I know that they're making a ton of money, because if a liquor store is selling a case of this stuff and it ends up averaging being $1, $1.52 a can, right? Mm-hmm. Then I know, and granted, they're getting some of these tall beers, so they are cost a little bit more. But like a 12-ounce compared to a 20 or 24-ounce, obviously they cost a little bit more. I get that. But the liquor store don't have marked up all the way to $15 per can, or the case would be $150, mm-hmm. right? So, or more. So I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about this. The Royals stink. We all acknowledge that. They're bad, right? Afternoon games are the worst time, and the greatest time to go as a fan to sit wherever you want once you get your original seat. I'll give you a little bit of a pointer. Get the cheapest seat you can, go into the cave for an afternoon game, especially before school gets out, and you get to move around and go sit in some premium seats. You're not going to sit in the crown seats or Diamond Club, but you're going to sit. You can get all the way first row right behind the dugout. You can. It's not that difficult. The ushers aren't going to be jerks to you because they're just happy you're there, which is the way they should be. And so I'm sitting here, I'm going, what would help draw people to the K? We don't have all the entertainment district around there. You have a Taco Bell, and Denny's is already burned to the ground. If you didn't know, Denny's up there, burned to the ground. So that was the other day. So all there's left is Taco Bell, and there's a Domino's. That's it. By the stadium, outside the stadium. So if you're going to eat, there's nothing nearby, or you got to bring your own stuff and tailgate in the parking lot. And it's an afternoon game, right? So kids are still in school right now, so forth and so on. So I don't understand why. I would think this would help their attendance, and I think it would help them make more money. And maybe I'm insane, and maybe this is why maybe the Royals will hire me when they hear this idea, or maybe they would just be like, this is why you do what you do, Wade. Why don't you have half-price afternoons? That's all you need to, that's all you have to do to promote it. Half-price afternoons at the K. Half-price afternoons at the K. Maybe you don't do it on Sunday afternoon, okay? Maybe not, because usually people aren't working on Sunday. I mean, there are people that work on Sunday. But for instance, you have a Thursday afternoon game coming up this Thursday. They've had a few Thursday afternoon games. Call it half-price afternoon games at the K. Call it half-price Thursday afternoons at the K. If it's a Thursday night game, don't worry about half-price. Mm-hmm. But label it whatever you want to label it. Come up with something catchier than what I said. But half price afternoon at the K. Every Thursday afternoon home game. All year or through May, okay? Mm-hmm. Half price. So half price for the beers. Half price for the burgers and fries. Like this one place, a burger and fries was going to be $16.75 before taxes. A burger and fries. That's mm-hmm. it. A regular burger with fries. Okay, a burger and fries, and you mark it down to $8.50 in taxes, you're still paying $10. And that's decent. That's more reasonable, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't tell me they still don't make money on that burger and fries at $8.50 compared to $16.75. You can't tell me that they don't make money off of a 20-ounce beer at $7.50 than at $15. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you can get more people out there, then you got more people that are going to buy. And then you're going to have more stuff you're going to sell, and that's good for everybody around. Now, the only thing that backfires is you have this promotion and you have the same type of attendance, then you're probably losing some money from that standpoint. But people might buy more because they feel like they're getting a better deal. So now they're like, you know what? Instead of just going in saying, I'm only going to buy one $15 beer, I'm going to buy two. Well, you're still spending the $15. Mm-hmm. So I don't, and I'm not saying the Royals should do this every single game. I'm just saying, like, afternoon games, especially before school gets out and we get in the summer, are hardly well attended at all. In fact, that's why it's appealing to me to drive to go, because of what I just said. Get a cheap ticket and you can go sit wherever you want. There's no lines, really. In bathrooms, there's no lines. maybe it's not half price. Maybe it's 25% off. I don't know what it is, but to me, there's got to be a way, instead of the only 10,000 people showing up and you still charge that much, let's try to get more people out there, because the product on the field ain't getting more people out there on a Thursday afternoon. And you'd still make money. I don't know. I don't know exactly the margins, but you can't tell me that you're not making money selling a 20-ounce beer at $7.50 compared to $15. You're still making money. Granted, you make a lot more money selling at $15, but if you can sell more beers at $7.50 than at $15, that's probably a good thing too.
Well, here's my thing too: is I don't know the merchandising and contracting and all the rights and stuff like that. But I guarantee you that the Royals are probably getting that stuff even cheaper than a liquor
probably,
store is, because they got the big signs out there that promote it. I mean, that's probably part of that's probably trading some
part of
your
their sponsorship
for your sponsorship, and so I'm guessing they're getting better deals on beer and stuff than the liquor stores are.
I would agree,
or the grocery stores or whoever carries it, right?
Yeah.
And it's like I just that's what's wild to me is like they've got to be making a lot of money on beer sales.
A bottle of
like
water is cheap as heck, and they're making $5, $6, $7 on a bottle of water, whatever it was.
Yeah, so you're profits like probably
pop that Pepsi's one of their biggest they're all over the outside on the outfield. Pepsi's a trading partner or sponsor, so they have Pepsi products or whatever it is, and I know that it don't cost a lot, and they're charging $10 for a souvenir cup filled with pop. Ooh, they give you a free refill. Pop is a cheap, I mean, in regards to all the fountain pop.
It's pretty evident in a fountain, especially. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, if you went half price there, I mean, you can't sell it for $5 instead of $9?
Yeah.
I mean, you still make plenty of money. It's gigantic markup. But
I mean, there's a purpose for everything, and there's a reason they have that price, and they're making a lot of money.
Sure they are.
And people are paying for it. That's the sad thing.
I know.
There's too many people that actually do pay that much for all that stuff.
But if you're like us, you know, and go once or twice a year, you're like, you know what? This is my entertainment. I'm not really mad about paying it because I don't go every day. But if you go on a regular basis, you're like, well, I'm going to go broke.
The only thing I can ever remember eating at Kauffman Stadium is Gates Barbecue. Like, it's a niche. It's a Kansas City thing, so I would get that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, food, I just don't buy food inside the stadium.
Well, I was so hungry.
And so, but, I mean, I'll get Dippin' Dots like I did yesterday just to splurge, you know, on something. But then, like what you did yesterday that you told me about, you know, that's reasonable, you know, and so I might do that. But typically, I have enough in me, and then I know after the game, I'll probably go stop somewhere.
Right.
And so I kind of... You know, I'll drink a pop is about all I do at the stadium, really, on a normal trip for me.
I walked around trying to find the best deal because I was hungry, and I found, and I wasn't really in the mood for chicken tenders, but I saw a place where there's chicken tenders, and it was $9.69, but there was, I mean, the picture looked like there's quite a few chicken tenders, which I didn't know, you know, it just could be a promotional piece. And so you could get the fries, and then it went to $16.94. Why am I going to buy fries for $7? I mean, I don't need fries. $7 for fries, that's insane.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to get the tenders for $10 and roll the dice. I get quite a bit. And honestly, I got quite a bit for $10. I was surprised. That was one of the best deals I could find. But 16 plus tax, 17, just to add the fries in, there's no drink included. It's not no combo meal. When you go to Royals games, the combo meal isn't, there's no combo meal. It's pretty much, you get fries with it, or you get a side with it. That's extra $6-7 on top of the $10 brisket sandwich, whatever it is, and then the drinks on top of that. So, and then if you take a family of 5 or 4 or 6 or 7 or 8, or if you're John and you take, you know, all your grandkids, that can add up, obviously.
Yeah.
So you don't think you'd get more families and kids to go out there on half price Thursdays? I know you have to wait till school's out. I get that part. But you don't think that would draw more people? I mean, or do it just for 2 Thursdays after school's out and get people to come out there. I think there's ways to get more people out there. I just think there's something they could do there. And they've probably done the studies and they'll say that it's not really going to help us any. I don't know. But they're making tons of money off of each one of those items.
Yeah.
Tons of money. The markup is insane.
Yeah. And back to what I was saying about Gates, I think a lot of those places, I would think you could make more money if you had local stuff out there. Like, Aramark's taking over all the food there, so there's nothing local
about it.
Not
as much local stuff.
It's just, there's Sweet Baby Ray's. Who's going to, like, wait, go to Kansas City and pay for Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue? I'm like, Gates was out there. They had local stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what a lot of these places, like, you know, I went to San Antonio. They got a Whataburger right inside their arena, right, that you can order food. And it's like, I would think, like, local stuff like that would...
Mm-hmm.
do better for your concession revenue. But I don't know why they changed all that. Well, they changed it because they probably got a great deal from Aramark.
They save money.
And they're saving
money,
too.
They're making more money.
Yeah.
That's what
it's about. And so it's about them making the money instead of Gates making the money, or as an example. But, yeah,
right.
It's all ridiculous just how much that just it adds up.
And we're just talking Royals.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are, you know, won the Super Bowl again, and they only have 8 or 9 home games all year long, not counting preseason, and that's $60 to park. Or if you get an online app, I think it might be $40. And people complain about the Royals' $20 parking. That's a steal compared to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And the Royals, not too long ago, but when their World Series years, I think it was like 7, 8, or 10. And then it kept going up, of course, as they were getting better. And then, of course, it never comes back down once they get good. And
yeah.
So the Chiefs, I mean, they... You know, that's expensive just to park, and then you go into the game, and so you can sit here and say, well, at least I'm seeing a product that is a Super Bowl champion product, you know? And it's a premium thing more so than the Royals because there's only 8 or 9 home dates, whereas the Royals have 81 home games.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, you're not very good. It's kind of like, well, I won't worry about this game. I'll go, that's kind of hot. I'll wait for another game, and then maybe they don't go as many games. But if you had an entertainment district, which they're working on, $2 billion plan, and you have all kinds of things to do for the kiddos outside the stadium, and you had all kinds of things to do for the parents, the adults, and there was concerts and things like that that they're doing in all these other places, you might get more people to ballpark, no matter how cruddy your product is on the field. And that's what the Royals eventually want to get to. Now, there are things to do for the kids out in the outfield and so forth and so on, but they really haven't added to that now for a few years.
Yeah.
And there's not really any room, per se, to do it.
Yeah.
So a little bit outdated in some cases. But anyway, we still had a good time. That's
yes.
The bottom line. Win or lose, and they won, which we didn't think they would. So they did. Hey, sad news. Vita Blue, a 17-year-old major leaguer, an important member of the dynastic Oakland A's during the World Series three-peat from 72 to 74, has died. He was 73. He was an outstanding pitcher. Cause of death not given. There are a few players with a more decorated career than Vita Blue, the A's said in a statement. He was a 3-time champion, an MVP, a 6-time All-Star, a Cy Young Award winner, and an Oakland A's Hall of Famer. Vita will always be a franchise legend and a friend. In 1971, Vita Blue had one of the greatest pitching seasons in baseball history. He went 24-8. His ERA was 1.82. He threw 312 innings. He made 39 starts in 1971 and threw 24 complete games. He was the AL Cy Young Award winner and the most valuable player of the league, all in the same year. At age 22, he became the youngest player to win the AL MVP award in the 20th century. It is very rare for a pitcher to win the Cy Young and the MVP, and Vita Blue did it at the age of 22. All told, Vita Blue won 209 games, ERA of 3.27, threw for over 3,000 innings, was in the bigs for 17 years, 3-time 20-game winner, 5-time All-Star, finished in the top 7 of the Cy Young voting 5 times, received MVP votes 4 times, and won those 3 straight World Series titles with the A's. He became the first pitcher in Major League Baseball history to start the All-Star game for both leagues, 1971 with the A's, and then 78 with the Giants. Pete Rose famously said, Vita Blue threw as hard as any pitcher he'd ever faced. And Blue was considered one of the hardest throwing lefties in the history of Major League Baseball. And he also, by the way, played for the Royals. And I remember this. I actually remember Vita Blue pitching for the Royals. I was 7 or 8 at the time. Vita Blue pitched for the Royals back in 82 and 83 on the back end of his career. So Vita Blue passing away at the age of 73, but he was an amazing left-handed pitcher and one that people don't realize how good he was and certainly overlooked and underrated until you start looking at what mm-hmm. he actually did.
I can't add anything on Vita Blue, to be completely honest with you. I don't remember watching him pitch. It was like you said, in the early 80s, and I was born in 83, so I can't really add a whole lot other than what you've said and what I have heard from other people. I definitely didn't get to see him play, but obviously he was a dominant pitcher for a time.
Without him, the A's don't win 3 in a row, that's
no.
for sure. All right, turning to college football, K-State and their head coach Chris Klieman are in the process of finalizing a new contract worth $44 million over the next 8 seasons. I didn't stutter. $44 million. Over the next 8 seasons, which averages out to $5.5 million over the course of the deal. Chris Klieman is 30-20 and through 4 seasons at K-State. 30 wins, 20 losses, led the Wildcats to the Big 12 title last year and a Sugar Bowl appearance. And it's interesting because we went to the K-State football camp. They had first through fourth graders there in the morning on Saturday from 9 to noon. And so I took my son and a couple of his friends. We went to the K-State football camp. Coach Klieman was standing there near registration tables. And so he was taking some pictures with some campers. And so I got to talk with Coach Klieman for just a quick 5 seconds or so and congratulate him on a good year and introduce myself and then told him that we were from Beloit. And then got a group picture with all the kids that I took to the camp along with my son, which Coach Klieman Little did I know that I should have asked him for some kind of handout, and that he's got all kinds of money falling out of his pockets now. And so let me, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because there's some other things I want to get to. But this kind of broke late yesterday. Chris Kleiman's going to, well, first of all, there were so many K-State fans that like, oh, we can't get, Gene Taylor can't hire his buddy. It's a buddy system. You can't hire, Kleiman hasn't coached at the D1 level. He's not going to be successful. And I always felt that he was a good hire. I didn't know if he was a great hire. I thought he was a solid, good hire. I thought he'd be successful. I'm not really surprised what he's done so far, to be quite frank with you. I'm not. I'm not surprised that K-State's won a Big 12 title. I'm not surprised that K-State was in a Sugar Bowl. I think the thing is, can you consistently be there? You know, they've had a few up and down years under Chris Kleiman. They've had some good years. They've had a few not so good years. COVID obviously wrecked things in the middle. And some injuries, obviously. If Skylar Thompson is fully healthy during his career, that would have helped Chris Kleiman a little bit too. But I think the question you have to ask yourself right now, and I think a lot of people listening, when I say Chris Kleiman is in the process of finalizing a new contract extension worth $44 million over 8 seasons, and people immediately, I think, go, dear Lord, at Kansas State? Chris Kleiman? But Chris Kleiman, with this new extension, is still not going to be the highest paid coach in the Big 12, and he is the reigning Big 12 champion. He is going to be the third highest paid coach in the Big 12 behind Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State and Brent Venables at Oklahoma. And Venables only coached 1 year. He hasn't won anything as a head coach, okay, yet. And they're going to the SEC. So then Kleiman will climb up to number two on that list unless there's other deals that are done. And Mike Gundy, I mean, Mike Gundy's had a lot of 10 and 11 win seasons. Don't get me wrong. He's got, let's see, Mike Gundy started in 05. Last year was 2022. So he's coached 18 seasons. Mike Gundy has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He has 6 seasons where his team won 10 or more games. He had 2 seasons where they won 12. You know how many Big 12 titles Mike Gundy's won?
One. Yeah.
According to what
when,
I see here.
When like Blackman and them were
in the 2011. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One. So he has one title. Now, Chris Kleiman already has one.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're sitting here going, well, Mike Gundy, yeah, wait, Mike Gundy's been in long enough. He should be paid more than Chris Kleiman. Or you may say, what's Mike Gundy won, and why isn't Chris Kleiman the highest paid coach in the Big 12? And that's the thing I might say as a K-State fan is like, you know, some K-State fans or some people in general be like, dear Lord, that's a lot of money to give Chris Kleiman after he just won his first Big 12 championship and his record is 30-20, which doesn't jump off the charts. It's solid, but it's not like out of the stratosphere. And you say, oh, dear Lord, Chris Kleiman's getting $44 million over 8 years, $5.5 million a year, a $1.5 million raise per year. That's insane. That's crazy. You could argue it two ways. You could argue it is crazy, and that's a lot of money for little old K-State with, you know, the athletic budget and the way things are in sports and everything else and Power 5 conferences. But you also could come back and say, with the after the extension, he's still paid lower than Mike Gundy and Brent Venables. What the hell's Brent Venables at Oklahoma? He's done nothing. I mean, they were not good last year. Now, I think Brent Venables is going to be a good head coach. He was a great defensive coordinator at Clemson, but he don't have any Big 12 titles and no ring to show around. He has Clemson's national championship rings, but not Oklahoma rings that he can show around in regards to being a head coach. Granted, he was assistant at Oklahoma, and they've done well there, obviously, but. But Mike Gundy, what's he got to flaunt other than one Big 12 title based on what I have here in my research? So you could argue Chris Kleiman is still underpaid after the contract extension.
Yeah, there's definitely an argument for that. It's funny because like it was like a month ago or something, Mike Gundy got brought up in some conversation I was having on Twitter and messaging. And it's like, and when I say this, I'm not talking about how they started their careers. But Mike Gundy, like if you look at his coaching career, is Bill Snyder. Like all these 10-win seasons and then a couple 12-win seasons, but he's won a lot of games, but he's not won anything. You know what I'm saying? Like he's won a lot of games. Bill Snyder had 2 Big 12 championships. Mike's got one.
Yeah.
And about the same amount of time here as he's up to 18 years coaching now.
You're about right.
Like his trajectory is so much like Bill Snyder's. Like they had so many big wins. And I think that, and for me, the Mike Gundy thing is like, how long is Oklahoma State going to hold on to him because he's an Oklahoma State guy?
Right.
Because if he wasn't an Oklahoma State guy and not only won Big 12 championship, I think he'd be gone.
I think so.
Probably 4 or 5 years ago.
I agree.
And so it's just Mike Gundy's always an interesting dynamic to me. And I only bring him up because he's getting paid more than Kleiman when we talk about this.
Sure.
But yeah, Chris Kleiman, I think, has earned everything that he's got here. There's, you know, $5.5 million seems like a lot, but in the grand scheme of college football, if you're winning championships in your conferences and you're playing in New Year's 6 games, $5.5 million is something everybody should be making.
Right.
I mean, at that level, if you're competing at that
based
level.
Based on the market.
At least that. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't, you know, it seems crazy sometimes to just be out here saying that, yeah, $5.5 million, that's normal for a year's salary, you know, on an average. And so I think that, but this is the thing. If you're going to win like this and you want to keep guys around, you want to continue to build your program, these are the moves you got to make.
Yes.
And at Kansas State, to say, hey, we're signing you for 8 years. This is not like a four-year contract extension, right? This is a whole restructured eight-year deal.
Yeah.
And so if you can get a commitment from a guy that's had the track record that Chris Klieman has had to stay at your university, and there's going to be buyouts if he would want to go somewhere else, but his name's been mentioned, you know, with Nebraska and all these other things that might pop up, it's so important to keep him around. And if you can get him to agree to 8 years and you think he's your guy, that's an easy decision.
No, I totally
and
agree.
And I do agree with you about Gene Taylor. At the beginning of it, the optics didn't look great,
sure.
Right? They're like, don't hire your buddy. But for me, right after his initial press conference, I was like, well, this is not what I thought he was,
yeah.
Like expected. And I know you can't just go out and win a press conference. You got to go out and win games. And he's done that and obviously led this team to a championship. And the recruiting is great right now for this university as well. So,
well, an indoor practice facility I was
absolutely,
in. They just built. I was there for the football camp. They had the
yeah,
indoor.
If you're going to invest in that, then invest in everything else
right.
That goes into
absolutely.
That.
Yeah. And so, you know, the indoor facility just east of Bill Snyder Family Stadium, they're redoing the turf at the main stadium, obviously. So they're a practice facility. And then they have another field that's just east of that out past the outside of the outdoor facility. So there's the outdoor and indoor practice facility, in essence, two fields, and it's just beautiful. It's amazing stuff. Yeah, there's less parking. Somebody was complaining about that. Dear Lord, if you want your program to be good, you got to give up some parking. It's just the way it's going to be. Oh, dear God, the Royals are going to build this stadium, and parking's going to be a nightmare. Well, then don't go.
Yeah.
You'll miss out whatever else. If you're going to be, if your major concern is parking, and that's going to keep you from attending an event, then just stay away, and everybody else that was willing to will. I mean, it's funny, but anyway, the facility is amazing, and but you got, like somebody told me, they said 10 years from now it'll be outdated,
yeah,
and you'll have to do something else. It is somewhat keeping up with the Joneses, but you need to do that in regards to recruiting. But also what you need to do is have a really good football coach, and you need to take care of your football coach. Kansas has done that with Leipold. He's been courted by various people. They've stepped it up, and they're paying him more, like, dude, this guy has done a great job. We want to keep him here. Kansas State's going to go, we got a guy that just won the Big 12 championship, went to the Sugar Bowl and played Alabama, and the future looks bright. Dear Lord, and we got things going. We got the practice facility. We got donors. We got boosters. We got people paying all kinds of money for the Shamrock Zone and now sit up there. Everything's going great, and basketball's going great, and volleyball's going to got a new coach. They got excitement there, and women's basketball's going to be great next year, and the baseball team's kicking butt. Everything's going great for Kansas State right now, and so why not give Chris Klieman a contract extension, which, based on the market value of everybody in the Big 12, he deserves what he's getting. And in a span of real world, it doesn't apply. None of this stuff applies to real world work in regards to the amount these guys get paid. Is any coach worth $5.5 million per year to coach any sport? I think no. But it is a business, as Dusty's pointing out. And just to add to this, it's kind of appropriate. This was tweeted out by Rick Stewart. He said here, when you hear things from athletic directors like football allows us to have other sports, this is what they mean. So he was able to get access to the profit and loss numbers for LSU for every one of their sports during the 16-17 cycle. Now, granted, that's 7 years ago, but it, trust me, these numbers have ballooned since then.
Yeah.
So this is just an example. So LSU, which is a high-profile university, SEC, and this is before they won that title with Joe Burrow and everybody, the football made $56 million in profit. Football profited. They cleared $56 million. All the other sports combined, negative $23 million. Lost $23 million. They have a breakdown by sport at LSU in the 16-17 year. Football made $56 million. Men's basketball made $1.6 million. Baseball, believe it or not, made $569,000. Gymnastics lost $2.2 million. Softball lost $2.1 million. Women's basketball lost $4 million. Women's track and field lost $2.5 million. Men's track and field lost $2.5 million. Men's golf lost $1 million. Women's golf cost the university $756,000. Volleyball cost them $1.8 million.
That's $1.8 million in the deficit. Women's soccer was negative $1.8 million. Men's tennis was negative $940,000. Beach volleyball, didn't know they had that, $704,000. Women's tennis, negative $1.1 million. Women's swimming, $1.3 million in the negative. And men's swimming, negative $1.3 million. Every sport except baseball, men's basketball, and football lost millions of dollars for LSU in 16 and 17. But what kept everything afloat to where everybody could play? Football. $56 million. Men's basketball, 1.7. Men's basketball just paid for volleyball. That's all that paid for. Baseball didn't pay for any other sport by itself, but it made $570,000. Football made $56 million, which paid for all the rest of the programs. So football, despite negative $23 million in losses, $23 million losses for every other sport combined, even if you combine men's basketball and baseball with their profits, with all the others that lost money, $56 million in football meant that the LSU athletic department, off of their sports revenue, made, as a whole, collectively as a team, with all the sports combined, made $33 million. And it's all because of football.
Yeah.
It is. And so when you sit here, I've heard a few people say, oh, come on, it isn't all about football. It is. You're naive. It is all about football. Now, I don't like it. You know, you can be mad that it's about football. You can be mad that football coaches are making $8 million a year. You can be mad that football players got the nicer hotels and they got the nicer food. They got more food and more steak and whatever else, and they're treated more like royalty. You can sit here and talk about all these assistant coaches getting paid $1 million to be as an assistant coach, not a head coach. You can get mad about Lance Leipold getting an extension. You can be mad Nick Saban's making $8-9 million a year. You can get mad that that Chris Kleiman's going to get $5.5 million per year and $44 million over the next 8 years. But without a really good coach, your football program goes in the pooper. You're suddenly looking at athletic budget now that you lose money. And if you lose money, now you can't build the indoor facility that K-State just built. You can't make improvements to your stadium, or you can't build a new stadium, or you can't have the state-of-the-art Texas Tech and what Texas is going to do with this crazy tons of money to build facilities. And you may say, man, this seems like an arms race. Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. But in order for recruits to go somewhere, they want to go where it's nice, right? They're not going to go to some run-down facility unless they are just not that good themselves. So if you're a high-profile recruit, and you go look at Kansas State and look at their indoor and facility now, and you're like, wow, that's pretty nice. Or if you go to LSU and you got your own personal, you know, video chairs in the locker room, and I've seen that locker room, dear Lord, that's amazing. You're sitting there going, wow, that's pretty impressive. But if you just go to another school and they don't have half of that, you're like, yeah, I kind of might be out here. And so you got to keep up with the Joneses. It is an arms race, and football is the one that provides the money to allow you to do renovations on other stadiums. Maybe you want to fix something up for baseball. You want to do something for men's basketball. You want to do, this is why it's so important for KU. The men's basketball, I guarantee it makes more than $1.6 million than LSU does for KU. Don't know the number. I guarantee it's more than 1.6. But KU football doesn't make $56 million like LSU.
No.
So you wonder why KU, I've had people tell me, why does KU spend this money, and then they spend money on these buyouts for these football coaches that stunk, and they keep rolling out the money to improve the football team? Because football, even though KU basketball is amazing, football is most important. It is, and that's the proof. Football is your bread and your butter. It is your money maker, your biggest money maker. In some institutions like a Duke and a Kansas and a North Carolina, men's basketball might be a lot closer in football than anywhere else. That could be. But probably 97% of all Power 5 or Division 1 universities, football does, in essence, pay for pretty much all the other sports. It's not like I heard people say, well, football pays for the women to play. No, that's inaccurate. It pays for everybody else to play, women and men, except maybe men's basketball, occasionally baseball, maybe Nebraska volleyball, maybe make some money. Probably not a lot, but they make something. They're going to have 82,000 people at Memorial Stadium this fall for volleyball. Did you see that? That's pretty awesome. But it is. When people say, Mark Johnson, the play-by-play voice of Colorado, comes on our show and says, football is what keeps everything going. It's all about football, whether you like it or not. He's absolutely positively correct. And so this is why, you know, Chris Kleiman's getting $5.5 million per year for the next 8 years and a total of $44 million. Yeah. It's because of this. Okay? If football was breaking even and football wasn't making $56 million at one university, in particular LSU, but 7 years ago, then there wouldn't be as much invested in facilities. There, it would be spread around a little bit more, or you'd be seeing sports being abolished and getting rid of because they lose too much money. So football, when they say football keeps many other sports afloat, that is a fact.
This is why.
The K-State rowing team doesn't, in rugby or whatever, they got rowing, I think.
Yeah. Why do you think...
But those athletes get scholarships, and those athletes get to participate because, luckily, the collective whole athletic department, because of football and maybe men's basketball, helps pay for everything else. That doesn't mean you need to bow down and kiss the feet they walk on, but that would explain why they have the better facilities.
Yeah. It's like, why do you think conference realignment's based on football?
Oh, bingo.
This is it right here. I mean, this tells you everything. It's not geography. It's not who has a better men's basketball team. As much as KU and Kentucky and Duke and North Carolina fans want to tell me, hey, we have a better case to get into this conference because we have basketball. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
No.
If you don't have a footprint in football, it doesn't have to be like you have to be dominating college football at the time.
Right.
But you have to have a market. You have to have a footprint. You have to have something that's going to bring something of essence to the conference for football.
Yes.
And if you don't, it doesn't matter. K-State doesn't have the market, right?
Yes.
They've got the program to advance to a different conference in football, but that's not even what it's about, right?
Right.
On the alignment part. But if you can be part of that group, and if you can be part of that class of people that's getting all that money, the reason LSU is making $56 million, they're in the SEC, I guarantee you that it's more than that now with the contracts that the SEC has
and
the money that's coming in. That's why you want to be in these things. A TV contract can probably, whatever you get from TV revenue, can pay for all your other sports.
That's right.
If you have the right one, if you're in the right conference. I guarantee you that those SEC teams, just the money that they get on the share of their TV contract can fund the rest of their athletic department.
Absolutely.
Of the other sports that are playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's right there. That's football. That's what brings that in. It's a football TV contract. So it's going to go under football's revenue, right?
Yeah.
And so those things, that's why everything in this college landscape is run on college football.
All those numbers I gave you for 7 years ago. So I guarantee LSU football is way more than $56 million that they make, and other sports.
And expenses are going to be way more now than they were then too. But
right, yeah, it's but there's an example to prove it. The 76ers, let's go to the NBA. I hear something college-wise. Angel Reese, who was a star on the LSU team that won the women's college basketball championship. She has signed an NIL deal to join this year's SI, Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. Reese and Libby Dunn are the only two college athletes ever to be featured in the swimsuit issue. And she has a $1.4 million deal with on some kind of evaluation here. So Angel Reese is one of the top paid college athletes now in sports with NIL deals. And she is one of the top players in women's basketball. And of course, it helped that they won the national championship, and she's getting more deals as well. She's also been a little bit outspoken in some of the things that she feels strongly about. And she's now marketed herself very well. And now she's making significant money, and probably more so than she will if she goes to the WNBA down the line. I mean, maybe she still will make a lot of money in WNBA. I don't know, but there's the power of NIL again and marketing yourself. And she's an attractive lady who is outspoken, and some people like that, some don't. And on top of that, she's an athlete, well-known, and there you go. She's marketing herself. She's making money off of it, and, you know, everybody has that right to do that. So power to her. Okay, the NBA playoffs taking place yesterday, and the 76ers get a win.
Embiid bullies his way inside, out to Harden for the three. Got it! Celtics are going to play. Joe Mazzulla's going to let them go. Down by one, 10 seconds to play. Tatum against Harris. Tatum. Smart.
I think he got it off.
Did not get it off in time, it appeared.
Well, an exciting game yesterday between the Sixers and the Celtics. The series tied at 2 apiece. Sixers win 116-115 in overtime over the Celtics. Celtics rallied from 16 down to come back, take the lead at one point. James Harden had 42, including the game-winning three with 18 seconds left there in overtime. Joel Embiid played 46 minutes. Harden played 47 minutes. Embiid had 34 points and 13 rebounds. The series tied 2 apiece. Why Joe Mazzulla doesn't call a timeout there, I did not understand myself. You have timeouts. That's why you have timeouts. He decided to just roll with it. The Celtics seem to be very casual in getting into whatever you want to call that offense. It was not I didn't think it was really any kind of set play call. Maybe it was, but anyway, they didn't execute it, that's for sure, and they lost. So the series tied 2 apiece. The Celtics are one of the biggest enigmas in the NBA. With all the talent they got, they should win the East. with who's left, they should win the East. But they find a way to blow lots of games. They don't come through sometimes in crunch time. They don't execute. And yesterday the Sixers did and the Celtics didn't. And that's why the Sixers won after the Celtics came back and the Sixers blew a 16-point lead. So it's been an entertaining series, I'll give you that. In the West, 53 points, 11 assists for Nikola Jokic. Not enough. Nuggets suffer a 129-124 loss to the Suns in Phoenix. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, each scored 36 for the Suns. Series tied at 2. No Chris Paul. Booker averaging 37 points per game in the playoffs. He's shooting 62% from the floor. He's shooting over 50% from 3 for the playoffs. Devin Booker has been an absolute and sensational stud. And the Suns with a two-headed monster, that's been enough to beat the Nuggets last two games. How about Jokic? He had the first ever, the other day in Game 3 of the NBA playoffs against the Suns, the Nuggets, Jokic. He had 30 points, 17 rebounds, 17 assists. The first time any NBA player in the history of the NBA playoffs has had a 25-15 and 15. He had 30-17-17, his team lost. Last night, he had 53, and they lost. I mean, that's insane. That's absolutely insane. But the bigger news that people are talking about today is Jokic's technical foul. That, to me, should not have been a technical foul. I don't know if you saw this or not, Dusty.
I didn't. I was all over the place last night.
Yeah, but I saw it here this morning. So Jokic, there's a ball that goes towards the stands or in the front row there, and so Jokic is going to grab the ball because Ayton's starting to fall out of bounds trying to save it. So Jokic is thinking, I got a 5-on-4 opportunity. I grab the ball real quick, throw it to the official. Official throws it to me. We can go. And so he went, and the ball ends up being, it lands in the hands of the owner of the Phoenix Suns. And so Jokic goes to grab the ball from the fan, which happens to be the owner of the Suns sitting courtside. Well, the owner doesn't give it to him. He kind of turns away, pulling it away. And so Jokic is like trying to rip it away, and he just kind of extends his arm a little bit to try to, you know, kind of basically separate the guy from the ball, I think is what he's trying to do. And the Phoenix Suns owner should be a NBA flopper. He did his best Marcus Smart, and he came Vlade Divac, and he flopped, and the official bought it, and Jokic was given a technical foul, which was a key, you know, 1 point in a game. It was in the second quarter, but the game ended up going, you know, close to, it was tight all the way there at the end, so who knows how that could have changed strategy. And the Nuggets and Jokic are furious after the game. Jokic's brothers were at the game, and they were going nuts about it. Because they saw that the owner of the Suns actually instigated this situation.
Yeah, I'm watching it as you're talking about it, yeah.
And so Jokic has said after the game, he says, listen, they asked him if he knew he was the owner of the Suns. He said he did. Now, they asked Mike Malone, the Nuggets head coach, after the game, and I can't play the clip because it's got bad word. But Mike Malone was asked after the game about that, and he goes, it's a joke that Jokic got a technical for that. He goes, that's ridiculous. The fan's got to be better than that. And then they said, did you know that the fan that he was trying to get the ball from was the owner of the Suns? He goes, no, and I don't give a bleep. And he's right.
Yeah.
Like Jokic said after the game, he said, listen, it doesn't matter if he's the owner. It doesn't matter if he goes, I'm a star NBA player, but if I'm sitting in the crowd in the front row, just because I'm a star player or just because I'm an owner doesn't give me the right to interfere with the game. He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Why wasn't, like, if that was me or you, we might have been thrown out of the game.
Absolutely.
But he's not thrown out because
I don't think there's a question of might have been thrown out.
We would have been.
We'd have been thrown out of
the game. Yeah. But since he's the owner, he's not thrown out. So does that mean that the owner can do whatever he wants in the front row? Now, wait a minute. Where's the decorum? And so Jokic gets the technical because the owner does a gigantic flop, which is smart on his part. He ended up getting the team a point. But Jokic and Mike Malone are right. It's like the fans, Jokic said after the game, he said, when do we get protected from the fans? Like, at one point are we protected? Because I'm trying to get the ball and play, and the fan won't give me the ball, which happened to be the owner of the Suns. So there's going to be no suspension. Jokic, it'd be insane. Jokic should not get an suspension for a guy flopping because he extended his arm towards the guy trying to get the ball. That guy started it, who's the owner of the Suns. And I don't know if the Suns owner will be barred from sitting courtside or be suspended, you know, for the next home game in Phoenix. I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't think it's as big a deal as some people are making out to be. But I do understand where Mike Malone's coming from and Jokic and any NBA player. And that is, you have a seat at the game as a fan. You can yell what you can yell within reason. You don't have the right to shout racial slurs. You don't have a right to throw things at people. Can you heckle people, boo people? Yes, so forth and so on. But you don't have the right to interfere in the game sitting courtside.
No.
Whether you're an owner or not. So that becomes you, the owner, being bigger than the game. Or if you were a star player sitting courtside, you becoming bigger than the game. And that has to get stopped at some point. So I think they make good points. But that became a story after the game instead of the great game that was. Two game fours on the schedule tonight in NBA. The Heat are up 2-1 on the Knicks, 6:30 on TNT. Lakers-Warriors, Lakers up 2-1 on the Warriors. Let's hope that game's good. Last two have been complete duds and blowouts. Lakers up 2-1 in that series. Steph and the Warriors need a win tonight. Even that going back to San Francisco. NHL playoffs, the Panthers, the number 8 seed, acting like they're the 1 seed.
Reinhardt changing sides of the ice for Lundell. Return to Reinhardt right in front. He scores! Sam Reinhardt gives the Panthers a 3-0 lead in the series.
Panthers win in overtime over the Maple Leafs 3-2. They're up 3-0 in the Eastern Conference semis. They're the 8 seed, knocked off the best team ever in the regular season, the Boston Bruins, in round 1 and 7. Now they're up 3-0 in the second round. New Jersey Devils scored 8 goals and won 8-4 over the Hurricanes. They're within 2-1 in that series. The Seattle Kraken scored 5 goals in the second period. Hey, what was great about that for me as a Seattle Kraken fan, and I had to get up early this morning and I had a long weekend going to all these things, is that they were up 5-1 at the end of the second period, and I said, you know, I think they got this one. I'm going to go to bed. So I didn't have to watch the third period. So thank you, Seattle Kraken, my favorite team in all the land in hockey. They scored 5 goals in the second period and went on to win 7-2. They're up 2-1 in that series against the Dallas Stars, Game 4 in Seattle. Tonight at 7:30 on ESPN, the Oilers host the Golden Knights. Game 3 of that series, it's tied at 1 apiece. A couple other nuggets. Let's go back to the Phoenix Suns. I might not like that the owner interferes with the basketball game courtside, but I do like what the Phoenix owner is doing about this. April 28th, it came out. This is a new TV trend, perhaps, among our pro sports teams. The Phoenix Suns and the Phoenix Mercury, the WNBA team, the Phoenix Mercury, have committed to not having their games on cable TV anymore, and they are working out deals to have the games on local broadcast channels over the air free to their fans, which I say, bravo. The Vegas Knights, Golden Knights in Vegas, are doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Could this be where we're going? You know, for the Royals, you can get them on cable. It's part of your package or whatever if you've got Bally. But it's not part of a lot of, if you've got YouTube, if you've got Hulu, you can't watch the Royals. So then you have to pay extra to get some subscription, pay, I think, what, $20 a month to watch the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
And... well, wouldn't it be something if you're able to just watch them over regular broadcast television? That'd be great for the fans, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
So I'm surprised at this little mini trend we got going on here, and I'll give the Phoenix Suns owner a credit for that and then clean up his act on the sideline or on when he's in the game in the front row. And last but not least, do you know one of the fastest growing sports in all of the US of A is pickleball?
I heard you saying that actually on my way in, so...
Pickleball in 2016, 7 years ago, we were talking about LSU's sports thing 7 years ago. So 2016, we're going back in time, there were 12,000 pickleball courts in the U.S. of A. 2 million people played pickleball. There were no true pro leagues for pickleball. 7 years later, there's 44,000 courts for pickleball. 36.5 million Americans are playing pickleball, and there are 3 professional leagues if you want to be a pro and play pickleball. I started playing pickleball a few years ago. I played tennis in high school. It's pretty easy for me to pick up with pickleball. There are a lot of similarities to tennis. You play doubles. You don't have to move around too badly. You don't have to run very much at all. You play singles. That's a lot more energy, just like singles or doubles in tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Much smaller court. You can play inside, or if there's pickleball courts, outside. Kansas wind, it's kind of a challenge. I did this up at Chicken Pickle in Wichita outside for the first time I played pickleball. Playing my oldest, and I almost didn't beat him, and I played pickleball a lot, and he hardly ever plays, but the wind was giving me some problems, where I've always played in a controlled environment at the NCK Wellness Center gym against Miss Lori, and her and I have some battles, and it's a lot of fun. I enjoy playing pickleball. Her and I play once a week. I love playing. When we don't get to play once a week, she has a conflict, I have a conflict, it's a bummer. I'm like, man, I got to have my pickleball fix, right? So we play about 45 minutes once a week, and it's a lot of fun. And so if you want to learn how to play pickleball, it is, you don't have to be super competitive. I'm competitive, but it's not over the top with me and Lori, but she's competitive too, so that's what makes it fun. But you want to play doubles, you want to play singles, you want to learn how to play pickleball. I don't care if you're 82 years old, you're 42 years old, or you're 12 years old listening right now, and whether you're a man or a woman. As long as you can walk, okay, and move around, You can play pickleball. All right. You can. My middle son, he has Down syndrome. He loves to hit the pickleball, like with the, and he can hit it over the net some. He likes playing like that. My youngest kind of likes goofing around. My oldest has played a little bit here and there. I love it. And the whole family's gone and played pickleball at the wellness center. And you can go to the wellness center. You have a membership or get a pass or whatever. And you can pull out the pickleball net and you can play. If nobody's in the gym, you can, on your own, you can play pickleball. Mm-hmm. You might not even know the rules. You can learn how to hit the ball with a paddle. You can ask for paddles at the front desk. They've got paddles they can they don't even charge you for that. You can just get the paddles, and I'm pretty sure they don't charge you for that. You get the paddles, you get asked for a pickleball or two, and you play. And it's a ton of fun. And, you know, I've been telling my oldest son, you know, golf's a great sport to learn because you can play that for many years down the line, and it's a great sport to play to, you know, hobnob with, you know, if you're in sales, things like that, meet people, and you can go out, have a beer, you can go out and, you know, have a little side bet, have some fun with your buddies. I think golf's more fun when you play with guys similar type of play. You know, like if they're a lot like you, that can make for some really good challenges and contests and scrambles and whatever. Not saying you can't play with great players, but if you play with great players and you're playing a scramble, hey, are we going to use my shot anytime today?
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I played with Byron Pollan or Rodney a few times in some scrambles over the years, and I hit a really great drive right down the middle, and Byron's like, all right, cool, Wade's got a safe one out there. And then he hits it 100 yards right over my ball. All right, guess we're taking Byron's. Could we play Gerstner's ball one time? Like, that's the only way I'm going to contribute. Or I'm going to get lucky and I'm going to chip one close to the hole. I don't know how many times I'd make a good putt or a good chip, which weren't tons, but when I did, and it's like, all right. And that's the way a scramble should be. Your first guy, if he can get it close, now the next guy can go for it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then they, it's like, part of me wanted the team to win, right? Like, I want us to make it. I want us to get the birdie on the hole. Part of me is like, yeah, but I want them to use one of my shots.
Yeah.
But you can play golf for many, many years. I mean, I have my stepfather-in-law. He's in his 80s. He loves to play. He loves to go look for golf balls. He likes to go on the putting green. He likes to actually, you know, he'll walk and play 18. He'll ride a cart, whatever the case may be. He's playing, and he's had some health issues here and there with, like, his hip bothering him, but he still can play. Golf's a great sport to play for a very long time. Pickleball is, too. And the great thing about pickleball is you can play inside. Golf, you can't play inside unless you're going to play on simulators or you're going to play Top Golf now. That's a big thing. Wichita's mm-hmm. got one now. You can do that. And Top Golf's fun for a whole bunch of people who want to go hack. Top Golf is not good to me for people who like to play golf
mm-hmm.
because you're hitting off a mat. You got this little plastic tee or whatnot, plastic rubber tee. You can't adjust the height very much. You got unless you want to bring your own clubs and act like you're a pro. And it's just not the same type of thing. It's fun for the family. We've done it a few times. It's awesome. But the point I'm trying to make is learn how to play golf. I encourage you to do that. I know it's a pricier sport. But here's the thing I'm trying to say about pickleball. Pickleball is one you might think about because, one, it's not as costly mm. as golf. You can play indoors or outdoors, depending on where there's courts. Okay? Golf, you don't play inside typically. And you can play for many years. And you can start playing at any time. Like, pickleball, I think, is easier to pick up and learn than golf.
Oh, yeah.
Golf
yeah.
is hard. The swing is complicated to, you know, hit the ball effectively. Pickleball's simpler. So I encourage people to learn how to play pickleball. I had people ask me to play pickleball years ago, and I was like, I don't know. And I kind of just blew it off, right? And then one day I got sucked in, and now I will never get out.
Yeah, I think it's some of those sports like that, like pickleball, tennis, like you said, there's some similarities there. I think once you understand and figure out how to do it,
yeah,
you don't lose that, right? Like, you don't lose what it takes to do it the right way.
Yes.
Golf is like, you can just swing bad
yes.
for a day or two, and then now you just, you're in your head, and,
yes.
and you can lose right. what it takes to do it the right way because you're just not holding the club the right way, you're not approaching the right, whatever it is. I don't golf, but it's I have a feeling it's not quite the same as understanding what you need to do and actually being able to execute as tennis or pickleball when you
right.
learn it and find out how to do those things. Like, right, tennis for me is really like it is like riding a bicycle, right? Like, once mm-hmm. you know it, it's hard not to know how to do it the right way.
And what's also great about pickleball is they have a kitchen. You don't know what I'm talking about? Well, then learn pickleball and you'll find out. That's a tease. I can tell you it's not a kitchen where they make food while you play pickleball.
Can I eat while I'm...
No.
Do they have pickles in this kitchen? Or?
No. It's funny because when we played, you know, tennis, if you got... You didn't want to get bageled, right? You didn't want to lose a set or lose 8-0 or 6-0. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to get a bagel or a goose egg. That's what they would say. And then there's also... Another term is don't want to get skunked, right?
Yeah.
Well, Lori one time when we were playing, and we, I don't know, I don't want to brag or anything. So we had a game where one of us was not doing so well point-wise. And so that person that wasn't doing so well finally got a point, and that person went, "All right, I'm not going to get pickled." I'm like, I was thinking skunked in my head, seriously. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, pickled. Oh, I see what you did there. So... Do you listen? If you want to come with a big gherkin pickle or some big huge pickle you can get from a concession stand, you want to swing with the right hand with a paddle and play pickleball with a pickle, I guess you're okay. Clean up the drops or whatever the whatever when you eat when you're messy on the court. Yeah, I guess you could do that. But I don't know exactly how it got named pickleball, to be quite honest with you. I got to look that up. And there is a kitchen. And no, you don't go get your pickles in the kitchen. You're not supposed to be in the kitchen. In the kitchen, it's a violation. So there's some little things here about the pickleball you have to learn that are different than tennis. But I highly encourage people to go check it out. And here's a great thing. You can go to the NCK Wellness Center, and Lori knows how to play pickleball, okay? She knows the rules. She know, and even if you don't care much about the rules, just want to hit it around and learn, she will help you. Her and the staff will help you about pickleball. Go to the Wellness Center if you want to learn more. Trust me, you won't regret it. And you, if you end up getting just, if you can get you and one of your friends to go, you can at least play singles and hit it back and forth. But if you can get you and three of your friends, or, hey, they got pickleball sometimes in the mornings over there, you might be able to join, you know, and it's great socialization too. And I think that's the biggest thing I'm trying to get across. Pickleball and golf, okay, they're two different sports, but they're also really great social sports. They're great to get together with your friends and have a good time. And at the same time, you're exercising and don't even truly know it. Well, golf, you're not really exercising that much if you're riding a cart all the time. But pickleball, yeah, it's decent exercise. You're getting your cardio going a little bit. But no, you're not having to sprint and dive for the pickleball and jump over nets and hit it 118 miles an hour. And no, you're not going to get hit in the face by a line drive like Ryan Yarbrough in baseball. You might get hit in the face by a pickleball. I don't know. I guess it's possible. I've never had that happen before. But if you do get hit by a pickleball, it doesn't hurt very much. So there's really no downside to playing pickleball is what I'm trying to tell you. And Dusty's wearing a pickleball-colored shirt. So
yeah.
There we go. We're celebrating all at once. You've never played pickleball, have you?
I've not.
Someday I got to get you over the Wellness Center and play pickleball. I'll have to show you.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a good time. So it's one of the fastest-growing sports in America. And in 7 years, it's gone from 2 million players to 37 million. It's gone from 12,000 pickleball courts to 44,000, and it's gone from no true pro leagues to three professional leagues. Now, I will tell you the sport that I would like to see grow, and I think it would help with anger management, and it might even help cut down on shootings in our country. And you may say, whoa, now we got serious all of a sudden. But no, bear with me. Dodgeball. Dodgeball! Dude, if you're frustrated and you want to take it on somebody, you know, instead of all these horrible things happening in society, let's get people that just need to let it out. Okay, now another thing would be to put the face of somebody you can't stand on a punching bag and punch the crap out of it. That would be cool too. That'd be a good release of energy. But you know, I do believe that dodgeball, I mean, see the movie. It was an Academy Award winning movie with Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller. I mean, come on, man. Globo Gym. Dude, pickleball is awesome. But if we want a sport that could really let go of our stresses and our inner energy that is about to explode because we're mad about something, dodgeball. There's nothing better than grabbing that ball and firing it as hard as you can and hitting somebody where it hurts. Nothing better. And it's not going to really hurt you for a long period of time, okay? You know, you might be a little red if you take one off the face. You're not supposed to hit for the face. But you're not going to die from it, I don't think. You know, you want to jump and you get hit in the foot and you somersault to and you hurt yourself. That's on you for being an idiot for jumping. Okay, catch the ball, you get them out. Stick in there. But dodgeball, man, that's where it's at. You know, dodgeball, that would be a great one. We could release a whole bunch of anger and stress. And do you know that they don't play dodgeball much anymore because we're worried about kids getting hurt? As long as you put the rules out there and come on, we played dodgeball all the time. That was the greatest part of PE was kickball and dodgeball. What are we going to do? Eliminate kickball because I had a line drive and hit the pitcher in the face? They don't outlaw the Royals playing baseball because Ryan Yarbrough got hit in the face by a baseball yesterday. But dodgeball, baby, that might help a lot of us, even some of our mental health issues. Just let it out, but in a good way with dodgeball. I'm not condoning violence, but at the same time, throw the ball as hard as you can, and if it hits somebody in the new nether regions, yay! You know, you'll survive. I took a sandal to the nether regions. I'm still kicking today. Hang a lighty. I think I got to get checked out. Still not quite right down there. But dodgeball, don't you think that would be a great... Can you imagine, like, right now, if we're stressing, you and me, and we just went outside, or we went down to the shed, or we go to... We have our own dodgeball. That's how cool we are. Dusty and I got our own dodgeballs. And we go to the wellness center, go to the gym, and we play pickleball, but then we play dodgeball. Dude, you and I would be so much better health-wise. We'd be, like, I think there'd be less stress. There might be an occasional visit to the hospital. I highly doubt it. I mean, I don't throw that hard. I don't know how hard you throw, but
real hard anymore.
Didn't you love dodgeball, though? Wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
It wasn't fun to take one off the face, but you know what? There are some rules I hear in dodgeball that if the ball hits somebody in the face, you're out, to encourage people not to throw at that. But if somebody ducks, takes one off the face, that's not your fault. You shouldn't be eliminated. It's kind of like running back. So defensive players, I hit him in the helmet. That's, oh, he's ejected for targeting. The running back lowered his head, what I'm supposed to do. Dodgeball, man. If you're really scared about your face, all you got to do is get some old football helmet, throw it on your head, and that works too. I'm telling you, we got to get a dodgeball league going.
You probably still played dodgeball with, like, the rubber ball.
Right? Yeah!
We played, that's how we started, but by the time I was in junior high, we had the softer, like, the volleyball-sized thing, and it was like, thick foam, but it was softer.
That's wimp.
And wimpy. So, you know, we had to change that, but there were absolutely no rules about where you got hit. If you got hit and didn't catch it, you were out. Hit. It didn't matter if it was the head, if it was somewhere you didn't want to be hit, it didn't matter. If you got hit and didn't catch it, you're out.
Listen, if you don't have quick reflexes, that's your fault, not the person throwing the ball, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, of course, you know, don't cross over the line, or when they say, okay, free for all if a game went for too long, but usually you have to stay back behind the line. Go watch the Academy Award winning, Oscar Award winning acting of Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller. Go watch it, Dodgeball, and you will be with me. You will join me in my crusade, since I apparently got to give up on going to a Kraken game and finding King Don to give me his private plane. This is my next crusade, dodgeball. Okay, pickleball is a big deal. Let's get dodgeball going. And I say it tongue in cheek, but you know, a lot of people, we get frustrated, we get stressed, we get built up, right? And what happens? We get to a point where we blow up. It could be a temper tantrum. It can be blow up as in horrible things happening in our society. It could be just simply you yell at somebody because you didn't get a lot of sleep and you feel bad. You yelled at your kid, or your kid yelled at you, or everybody has a bad day. Everybody gets stressed. Everybody gets a little upset or raises their voice. But imagine if you had that outlet where you could play dodgeball. I think that would help you. Another outlet would be a boxing bag, a punching bag. Absolutely would be one too.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like when I was younger, like frustration, if I had it, I'd take it out. I'd hit it against the wall on a tennis court. Like just go out to the court if there's a wall. Yeah. You know, hit back and forth. Yeah. You can't hit with somebody, and I got a wall set up to show you. I would just smack that wall and just hit the ball at it. And that helped me, you know, and I think there's ways to use an outlet to get rid of that anger and frustration, and that was it for me.
I ain't gonna lie, the other day we were playing pickleball, I was playing against Lori, and I don't know what the score was, and I just decided if I got one in the sweet spot to hit, like kind of like baseball, you get one down the middle of the zone, you see a cookie, you're going to just go for it, try to hit a 1,000-foot homer, and you probably swing and miss and look like an idiot, but he's like, I'm ripping. I'm if I get it there, I'm going for it. So I hit that sucker as hard as I could, and I missed. It went long and hit the bleacher on the fly. That means it was way out, and I went, oh! And Lori goes, man, you feel better? I said, I actually do. I said, that felt tremendous. I said, that's 4 days of work coming out right there. I mean, honestly. So, you know, maybe that's the key. Maybe, I don't know. I don't want to get too deep, but, you know, we have all these horrible things happening in our society, and a lot of it has to do with, I think, people are stressed out. I think people having mental health issues is a big part of it. I think people not getting the help that they need or not finding the outlet that they need, and I think some of it could be anger management related as well. And this is no scientific stuff I'm throwing out at you. I'm just throwing stuff that's coming to my head. I'm sure there's a combination of things that are happening that are causing all the problems, like with all these things. But, man, I mean, you know, I say it tongue-in-cheek and I joke and I laugh about it. But, you know, if you have an outlet, whether maybe it's to go for a nice walk and that's your outlet, you know, or to decompress, you go for a walk or you go for a jog or you ride your bike or you go golfing or you go play tennis or you go to the gym and shoot baskets or you go to the wellness center to lift weights or you've got a punching bag at home or maybe you like to ping pong or billiards or whatever it might be, or you got a pull-up bar, right? Whatever helps you decompress is a very good thing as long as you're not hurting somebody else in the process. Mm-hmm. You know, now me swinging as hard as I can with a pickleball, and if Lori was 2 feet in front of me and I swung as hard as I could and I hit her in the eye, that's not good. Okay, that's not the right way to go about it. But we all need that outlet is what I'm trying to say. So maybe pickleball is that outlet. Maybe dodgeball. I'm joking a little bit about that. But at the same time, that's a game where it's kind of fun to hit people with a ball and you're not getting arrested for it. Yeah. You know?
So absolutely.
Just a thought. With that, have a great day.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.